Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 4. Looks like we're at verses 46 through 54. It said, as he traveled through Galilee, he came to Canaan, where he had turned the water into wine. There was a government official in the nearby Capernaum whose son was very sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judah to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son who was about to die. Jesus said, will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders? The official pleaded, Lord, please come now before my little boy dies. Then Jesus told him, go back home. Your son will live. And the man believed what Jesus said and started home. While the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that the son was alive and well. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared. Then the father realized that was the very time Jesus told him, your son will live. And he and his entire household believed in Jesus. This was the second miraculous sign Jesus did in Galilee after coming from Judah. The word of God for the people of God. Okay, so we've got a governing official. He's in a town. You heard me tell it to the children over here. His son's about to die. His son's on his deathbed. Y'all, I can't imagine what that's like. I don't want to imagine what that's like. I've been with people when their children were deathly ill. I've been with people who had children that were diagnosed with cancer. I cannot imagine, nor do I want to try and imagine what that would be like. To be sitting at the bedside of my son. Last year, Isaac had a staph infection that put him in the hospital, and that was bad enough. I would have walked 20 miles uphill to find something that might cure my son. So I can completely understand this official wanting to go to find Jesus when he heard that he was back in Galilee. I can understand him going 20 miles uphill. 1,300 feet is the elevation difference between Capernaum and Canaan. It's not minor. It's quite a bit of uphill travel. But what I didn't think of until I was studying this week is, because I've never been with a child on a deathbed, this father would have had to have torn himself away from his child. He would have had to have torn him away when what might be the last moments of this child to try and go find someone to heal him. And when he finally gets to Jesus and pleads his case, come back to Capernaum with me. Come back and heal my son. And Jesus' comment is, will you people not believe if you don't see miraculous signs? Now, we here in the South, we're lucky because we've mastered the English language and we have a different you for whether or not we're talking singulars or plural. This would be y'all. Will y'all not believe? It's not you stating that man. He's talking to everybody that's within earshot. Will you not believe if you don't hear? And the man says, please, sir, please heal my son. And Jesus looks at this guy and directs to him. He says, your son will live. Notice there was no miracle that this man saw. There was nothing to make him believe. But it said he believed Jesus and turned around to go home. He believed that because Jesus said right there, your son will live, that his son would live. Not because he saw the miracle, but he just believed in Jesus. On his way home, the servant came and let him know that the boy was alive and that he was getting better and that he was well. At which point it says the entire household believed because they saw. But how much greater is the faith of the one that believed before he saw? That's where we are right now. That's where we are. We have to decide whether or not we're going to just believe in Jesus without seeing the miracles. I hear people all the time tell me, you know, if all of this was true, then where are the miracles to show it? Y'all, those miracles are all around you every day. What we don't realize about miracles, when we think of miracles, we want something flashy. We want something big, boom, and in your face. But would you ever think that maybe a miracle isn't something that's God's changing the laws of physics, but it might be that the miracle is that God's making things the way they should have been. You see, in Eden, there was no sickness. There was no death. So the way things were supposed to be before the fall, this child never would have been sick. So is the miracle really just taking it back to the way God wanted it to be in the first place? So when we're asking for miracles, are we asking for God to change something in our lives just to make us better? Or are we asking for God to change something to make it back towards His will? I got to admit to y'all, I have prayed before to be rich. Now, God will never make me rich because I'd be terrible at it. You know the psalm that says, Lord, make me not rich, but make me not poor, but give me what I need for today. I live by that because if I was rich, I think I would have a tendency to say, who's God? Just as the psalm warns. God's plan for me is not to be rich. So that miracle won't happen because God's plan is not for that to happen. We need to look at the miracles that happen that are inside of God's plan and look around us at the miracles that happen every day. The miracles that are right there with us. You know, I'm looking at three of them right now. Caroline, Libby, Charlie. Children are miracles. When you think of all the things that have to go right for a child, not just to be conceived, but be carried to term, be born, and live. Y'all, they are a miracle. You may not consider it supernatural because we know how all of it works, but even though we know how all of it works, we can't make it happen, can we? Only God makes that go on. One of my professors, Jay Moon, he worked for 18 years in Africa, digging wells and setting up water purification in remote villages. And he explained to us, you see miracles every day, but because you see them, you don't realize how miraculous they are. He said, you go to a village in Africa that's never had electricity or running water, and all they've ever gotten is the water that's on the ground or what they've caught from the rain. And we go out there in a couple of days, we drill a well and set up a purification that's ongoing. And all they have to do is pull a lever and clean water comes out. Water that is life-saving to them because they've had dirty water. That water that can be used to help heal. He said the miracle that happens there when we turn that on the first time and hand them the first glass of water, there will be a three-day feast thrown because of the miracle that we see every morning when we turn on our sink in our bathroom. Y'all, the plumbing, the physics that goes into it is amazing, and it is a miracle that it happens. It's not supernatural, but it is amazing. We need to open our eyes to the miracles that are happening to us, because even Christ said, you're not going to believe till you see miraculous stuff. Well, the miraculous stuff's happening. It's just become very commonplace to us. Lee Cook and his example this morning, coming up to me, not on a cane, after having spent that time. Y'all, that is a miracle. But Lee Cook called me every step of the way. He contacted me before he had went to surgery and said, we need to pray this up. He contacted me when he went back to the hospital. He contacted me when he had decided that what his next steps were going to be. And he had the prayer going to it the entire way. And he told me every time, every step of the way, God cured me of cancer. God's going to take care of this, and I'm going to be back up and moving. God's going to take care of this. He believed before he ever saw. And the witness of him walking in today without a cane, he didn't need that to believe. He already believed. We should have that much faith in our lives. Amen? Bow your heads. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for this church. I want to thank you for the belief that it has in you, Lord. God, I ask that you strengthen us. You strengthen us in our faith and give us the ability to believe in you without having to see signs or symbols, but just know in our heart that Jesus Christ is our Lord and that through him our sins are forgiven. God, I ask that you be with all of us here today and anyone here that is wavering in that faith, that you build them up, Lord, that you make them say, I believe. that you give them the strength to stand up and say, I believe. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.